want to shift gears, though, take a look at a very interesting new study from the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada, which is taking a look specifically at marriage and family in an economic sense. What's the impact of marriage and family on the economy? Are married couples, if you take two people, if those two are married to each other, is that better for the economy than if those two people are single? Well, this study makes the case that indeed, families are the engine of the economy, that marriage is good for the economy, and that perhaps a decline in marriage in the family is a contributing factor in the economic slowdown we're presently experiencing. Well, joining us to talk more about this study, and then from there, what its policy implications might be, very pleased to welcome to the program here this evening, Andrea Morozek. She is the Manager of Research and Communications at the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada. IMFCanada.org, by the way, is their website. Andrea, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, well, give us the overview here, first of all. I mean, how do you go about measuring the impact of an institution like marriage in the first place?
Well, there is a lot of social science research that shows that stable marriages can contribute to the economy in indirect ways, mostly because you're creating the social and human capital that contributes to a strong workforce later on. That's one angle on it. So basically, the report looks at that. It looks at many different angles. For example, getting into the idea that families spend more on certain products. They generally contribute to the economy in certain sectors more than single people do. That's another way in which families contribute to the economy. But the basic idea is that strong marriages create the social and human capital that helps our country run.
So from there, then, this study makes the point that there's perhaps a connection between declining fertility rates in countries like Canada and the U.S. and Europe, of course, as well, and the economic slowdown.
That's right. In Canada today, we see we have a low fertility rate below the replacement rate. Replacement is 2.1, and today we see that Canada's fertility rate is 1.6. What this means is that in the next decade, we'll have more people over the age of 65 than we have people under the age of 15. So that means we have a lot of people to support. There'll be fewer young people to support their parents and grandparents. And in a country like Canada, which is the same as many European countries on this, we have a large social welfare system set up. It runs basically on the idea that we have young people paying into it, paying taxes. Mm-hmm. We will have very few young people to pay into this system to support the baby boomers as they enter retirement.
Well, and it captured those individuals at both ends. As you say, they're caught in the middle. They're the ones raising children, and now mm-hmm. they're the ones sustaining the pensions for retirees.
And that makes it harder, as we can all know, families will well know, that when you are supporting elderly parents as well as children, you really are in a bind. It's very tough. And the report cites the statistic that most of our entrepreneurial and economic activity comes from people aged 25 to roughly 35. So when you put those people in even greater stress, that can contribute to a decline in the economy as well.
So what's the connection then when it comes to turning this around? I mean, if we can encourage, or if we see an increase in rates of marriage and infertility rates, would that then have a positive impact?
Well, that remains to be seen. The idea, first of all, I guess it's important to stress that this isn't about telling people to have more kids. The research and statistics show that Canadians generally don't have as many children as they want to. So freeing Canadians up to be able to have the family size they want would be a start. Certainly if you talk to entrepreneurs and people running businesses, one of their main challenges today is good staff, being able to have and keep good staff. So if we had larger families, more kids, more people, it could contribute to the economy. It could contribute to an improved economy.
There are some recommendations here then about not necessarily, as you say, to encourage more kids or to encourage marriage necessarily, but to, I guess, remove barriers. Is that maybe a better way to phrase it?
Yes, and that's what I spoke of. I think it's important that government not tell people how to run their private lives, but removing barriers and facilitating greater ease of life for families is a different thing altogether. So the report has some suggestions, like along the lines of making it easier to have a family if you're at university, for example. Universities tend to be quite I wouldn't say hostile, but they aren't friendly to people who are married or have families. Allow for greater ease of training and retraining so that you can move with the job market, which today is quite fluid and people don't stay in the same job for a lifetime. Lower taxes for families raising children so that they don't have as great a financial burden. I could go on and on. There's also cultural recommendations. We tend to denigrate marriage and family on TV shows and in Hollywood. And that's a tricky one because it's hard to tell Hollywood what to do. But to give some attention to the fact that we don't live in an age where we can afford to do that anymore. These are important institutions. Marriage is an important institution, and to constantly break it down, make fun of it, it doesn't do us any favors.
Well, this research also includes some survey results in terms of how Canadians feel about these matters. And I guess overall, I mean, Canadians still seem to have a deep appreciation for the importance of family.
Yes, that's true. 65% of Canadians believe that for children to be happy, they need to have a mom and a dad. I think 95%, if I remember correctly now, think that we should pay more attention to family issues, that family matters are very important. Those two results right there show a high regard for family and an appreciation for family. I guess the question is how we work that out in the day-to-day life of doing family.
How then should this, or ideally, how would this impact the discussion in Canada, the policy discussion?
Well, I'm glad to speak about this on the radio. I'm glad to get the word out on how important marriage is. I think that there is one impact. It would be great if people in positions of power, whether it be government or business leaders or cultural leaders, it would be great if they were able to appreciate and inform people on the benefits of marriage. We might then create a cultural environment whereby it's easier to be married and remain married. Everybody knows that that's a challenging relationship, but one well worth supporting. So I guess another recommendation in the report is along those lines for people in positions of power, whether it be politicians or business leaders or otherwise, to speak to the benefits of marriage for our culture, our society, and our economy.
Well, people can read more for themselves, again, at imfcanada.org, the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada. Andrea, really do appreciate your time here this evening. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.